here today. Amen. Healing is here today. Holy Ghost is here today. Deliverance is here today. Whatever you need, the Lord is in this house to provide. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 8, verse number 31, Jesus was teaching a group of people, and this is what he said. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Everybody said they believed on him. This is what he said to them. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore make you free, you are free indeed. Amen. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. I'd like to talk today about liberating ourselves from prisons of our own making. Liberating ourselves from prisons of our own making. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Jesus was addressing a crowd, and when Jesus preached to people, people came both to hear him and to criticize him. That's right. Amen. Things hadn't changed, have they? But Jesus, when he got up to preach, it was always a mixed crowd. And the Bible said that there was a part of the crowd that believed in him. And this is what he said to them. To his followers, he said, if you continue, everybody say continue. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You see, it's about continuing. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. Everybody knows that. Everybody starts out good. Everybody starts out well. But if you're gonna be the winner, you got to finish the race. You can't stop somewhere. You can't rest somewhere. You can't get out somewhere. If you're going to be a winner, you got to finish the race. And so he said, continue in my word. And then are we to his disciples. We can't continue in our own philosophies. We do not continue in our own ideas, but we continue in the words of the Lord. And then he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what truth does. Truth liberates. Truth is light. Now, you can't hide anything in the light. You can hide things in darkness. You can hide things in shadows. But you can't hide in light. Light is very revealing, isn't it? The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But you can't hide anything in the light. It is revealing by its very nature. Truth is like that. Truth reveals. Thank God for truth. I love truth today. Truth has its enemies today. Truth has detractors today. You know why people don't like truth? Because it is revealing. It reveals them for who they are. Truth reveals error. Amen. So there are people like Pontius Pilate who are still asking the question, what is truth? Amen. There are people today that say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. Truth is just simply revealing. Real truth and genuine truth doesn't hide things. It reveals things. There are people today that say, well, you know, God only reveals truth to just a very select few people. I don't believe that. Amen. I believe where there's honesty and there's sincerity and there's faith, that God will reveal His truth to anybody that wants to know, to anybody that wants to hear, to anybody that will take the time to seek truth. He will open truth to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that sometimes it sounds arrogant. It sounded arrogant when He said it. He said, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I know that sounds exclusive, and it's not popular in our time. Amen. We live in a time when everybody wants to just, everybody have their own idea and everybody's right, but it can't be that way. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. When I go to a gasoline station and I buy a gallon of gas, I want a gallon of gas. I want 128 ounces. I don't want 64. I don't want 36. I don't want some idea what you think a gallon is. I want the standard gallon. That's what I'm paying for. Amen. When I go to Brookster's, brother, and I get ready to buy some meat and I buy a pound, I want a pound. The two biggest sellers when I worked in a grocery store back when the devil was a little boy, we had at Christmas and Thanksgiving, we had two things on sale. We had gold medal flour, 5-pound bag, 25 cents. We had Imperial pure cane sugar, 5-pound bag, 25 cents. Now, man, I was a stocker. You talk about stocking. We stock flour and we stock sugar like you wouldn't believe. Amen. It was flying off of the shelves. And I went to the store the other day, and you know what? You get a 4-pound bag. You used to get a half a gallon of ice cream or a gallon. Not anymore. It's all shrinking. Amen. But you see, people say, well, you know, I think, you know, we ought to be able to set our own standard. That's right, until you go to the gas station, then you want a standard. Huh? When you get to the grocery store and you buy a pound, you want a standard. I've heard people say, I don't believe in standards. Yes, you do. You just want to change things at your convenience. Amen. I'm telling you, we still need a standard today. And we have one. Hallelujah. The Word of God is a standard that will not let you down. Amen. It's a standard that will stand the test of time. Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth for honest people and people that want to do right and want people that want to be right. Truth is liberating. A lot of folks, you know, refer to people that are trying to live by a standard. They say we're living in bondage. Oh, no, we're not. Amen. You know what freedom is? I have real freedom. Now, don't anybody misquote me here. You listen real close. If your neighbor's sleeping, punch them right now. Wake them up. Because I don't want anybody to mistake what I'm getting ready to say. Don't you listen to part of what I'm saying. I want you to hear everything I'm saying. Are you ready for this? Amen. Now you listen closely to what I'm saying. Amen. I drank all the whiskey I wanted last night. I didn't want any. I said, I did, get this, I did not want any. You see, that's liberty. Amen. Whenever you can do anything you want to do, there are just some things that you used to do, but you don't do it anymore because God took away the want to. God took away your desire. The things that used to bind you and hound you and haunt you and shackle you, God has set you free from those things. That's liberty. It's not liberty when you can't say no. It's not liberty when you can't turn away. It's not liberty when you can't leave it behind. That's not liberty. That's bondage. There are prisons that we make with our own hands. One of the obvious prisons that we make are addictions. We addict ourselves to many things. Often it starts out, and most times I would say, it begins when we're young. Young people, listen to me. Amen. Don't let this world influence you. When I was growing up in high school, I remember the mantras. I remember people saying all that kind of stuff. I remember my teacher saying, you've got to experiment. Baloney. I don't have to experiment. The Bible tells me some things are wrong. My mom and daddy told me some things are wrong. My pastor told me some things are wrong. And I had enough good sense to listen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they said, oh, you got to get out there and try things. I don't believe that. Amen. If you're smart, you know, hey, if you're real smart, you don't have to get burned. You can listen to somebody that already has been, and when they say fire's hot, you just stay out of it. Somebody tells you, hey, don't stick anything in the electrical socket. It'll bite you. Amen. I'm smart enough to know I don't have to do that. Well, I really wasn't smart enough, but that's history. I did learn. I had a very deceptive brother. He could talk me about anything. Another story. Hey, man. Praise the Lord. But that's where a lot of addictions start. About people defining what's cool. You ask a good question. Who determines what's cool? I was with a young boy. Oh, he was from Germany, and I took him to the store and kind of showed him things around. And he was pointing out what was cool and what wasn't cool. He was showing me what was cool. And I said, you know what's cool about being old? He said, what? I said, I wear what I want to, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. That's cool. Amen. When I wear what I want to wear, and I don't let somebody else dictate. Amen. And I don't have to wear a certain label. Amen. If I like it, I buy it and I wear it. Amen. And that's cool. Amen. Let me tell you something else. Comfort is cool. Wearing something that's cool and you're in pain the whole time you're wearing it, you may be cool, but you ain't smart. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's where addictions start. It's by listening to the cool kids and watching the cool kids. Amen. All the cool people. You know, cool people smoke, so you start smoking. Then it gets a hold of you. And it ain't cool no more. Amen. You start drinking a little bit because that's cool. And then it gets a hold of you and you can't stop. Start snorting a little bit and smoking a little marijuana and taking a little this and a little that. And that's cool, man. That's cool. And after a while, it gets a hold of you and you can't quit. And it ain't cool. All right, buckle your seatbelt. I'm fixing to get real personal here. Amen. I'm going to get a little plain generation. We didn't have to preach like this 30, 40, 50 years ago, but we have to preach this way now. Amen. Praise God, your virginity. That's something you're supposed to get rid of, right? Because this world says, hey, experience. Amen. Matter of fact, you got to experiment with both. Try boys a little bit, try girls a little bit. Huh? Because that's cool. Amen. I'm talking to you about some prisons of your own making. Amen. I'm going to promise you one thing. You've got a virginity you can give away one time. And when it's gone forever and you can never get it back. You've got a purity that God gave you that you can give one time to one person. And to many people, you're nothing but a trophy they want to hang on their wall. You better find yourself a partner that's ready to commit for life. And until you say do, I do, don't say I won't. Amen. Well, if you love me, you would. If you love me, you wouldn't ask. You would respect me. Amen. Woo, that's good preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we doing all right here? And I'm telling you, there's addictions in this world, and they're prisons of our own making. Amen. And then a little baby is born. You can't put them back. You can kill them. That's legal these days. You can't kill a whale or an eaglet, but you can kill a baby and get away with it. We just finished a trial of a man that is a multi-time murderer. Kill babies and throw them in a toilet like something to be flushed down. I'm telling you, we're a sick nation when we get to this point. And that's covered by our own laws. My God, have mercy. When abortion's nothing but a form of birth control. I'm just telling you, folks, we got some addictions today. People that can't control themselves. Yes, you can control yourself. Amen. If you can't control yourself, you have no business dating. You don't go somewhere you're going to be tempted. You don't need to be off by yourself somewhere in the dark. Amen. Is this okay, folks? Is people still preach like this anymore? Hope it's all right. Amen. You get yourself in a prison you can't get out of. And you get to dating some little honey. Amen. And mom and daddy says, honey, I really wish you wouldn't get hung up with him or her. I don't really feel like that's the right one. And the pastor says, you know, I really rather you didn't get, oh, but I love him so much. And you'll get yourself in a prison you can't get out of. Amen. Because you know best. And you're in a prison that you built with your very own hands. I hope that you know that I love you enough that I'll tell you the truth. And if I can say yes every time, I will say yes. But if I say no, there's a reason I said no. And it's because I love you. Amen. Prisons of our own building. Amen. All kinds of addictions. Did you know that fear is a prison? That you can build with your own hands. There are people here today. There are things that you want to do for God, but fear holds you back. I would love to do this for God. I'd love to do that for God. I want to be this for God. I want to be that for God, but fear holds you back. I read a statement many years ago, and it really has helped me through the years. There was a man, he said, I always wanted to be a doctor. He said, but now if I went back to school, I wouldn't get out, I wouldn't graduate, I couldn't be a doctor until I was 50 years old. And his friend said, well, if you live long enough, you're going to be 50 anyway. So you might as well do what you want to do. Hey, don't you let fear hold you back. Oh, I'm going to get old. So what? You're going to get old anyway. If you live long enough, go ahead and be what you want to be. Go ahead and do what God told you to do. Don't let fear get in your way. Don't build yourself a prison house that you can't get out of. Don't let fear control your worship. Amen. Boy, I wish I could get free. You can. All you got to do is get out of your prison house and worship like you want to worship, like God desires to be worshipped. Amen. You see, you got to get out. Don't you let fear. You build fear with your own hands. If you built it, you can get out of it. You can be liberated from it. Amen. And you know, there are some things we can build a prison house simply by neglect. Knowing what you need to do, knowing what you should do, knowing what is right to do, and then just not doing it. I know I should pray, but I don't pray. I know I should attend church, but I don't attend church. I know that I should be faithful to God, but I'm not faithful. I know that I should give, but I don't give. I know that I should witness, but I don't witness. Why? It's a prison house that you build with your own hands. And if you built it, you can get out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prison house of neglect. There are prisons that we build of apathy. Amen. We just don't care enough. We know, but we just don't care enough. We don't have a passion. We don't have a great desire. I know I should do better. I know what I should do right. But I just don't have a great desire to do it anymore. You need to build a fire in your heart. You need to get a fire in your soul. You need a good old praying through. That's one of the old Pentecostal cliches that I still love. I know it's Pentecostal terminology, praying through, but I like it. What in the world does that mean, preacher? It means that you pray through. Whatever's stopping you, you pray through. If it's an addiction, you pray through. If it's fear, you pray through. If it's neglect, you pray through. If it's apathy, you pray through. You pray until you get through it. Amen. That's how we do it. That's how you get free. You can get out of your prison house. You built it. You can get out of it today. Amen. One of the most difficult prisons to get out of is self-deception. It's dangerous to deceive yourself. I had a woman tell me one time, certain things she was doing that was wrong. She knew it was wrong. But she finally told me, she said, the Lord told me it was all right for me. No, He didn't. You deceived yourself. One of the most dangerous things you'll ever do is deceive yourself. You cannot get to the place where you excuse wrongdoing and make it right for you. That's one of the most dangerous roads that you'll ever go down. But because the only way you can deal with sin is to repent of sin. And you can't do that unless you know that it is sin. So you don't want to deceive yourself. But there are people that are living in prison houses of self-deceit. Amen. We don't want to go down that road. We don't want to live in that condition. Amen. Jesus said, but you shall know the truth if I say the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to know the truth about addictions. You got to know, hey, this has me bound and I want out of it. Amen. Let me tell you the second thing is you can get out of it. Don't you listen to anything else that you have to live that way, that you were born that way. That's the excuse today, right? Everything is, well, you know, I was born this way. I've got this gene in my family that oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. Amen. Don't you blame it on genes or polyesters or dresses or anything else. That's not the problem. Amen. It's sin. We've always battled sin. Amen. But Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. The fact is, you don't have to. Now, let me show you something here real quick. I'm going to wrap this up pretty fast. Verse 33. Now, this is a different bunch. This is a self-deceived bunch. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? If you're so blind, you don't know you're bound, then you're in trouble. If you're living in darkness and avoid light, you're in trouble. If you think that sin's shackles are bracelets and a beautiful thing, you're in trouble. Here's a bunch of people that, listen, they just flat out lied to themselves. Now, the first part's true. We're Abraham's seed. Yes, they were children of Abraham. But the second part, we were never in bondage to any man. What about 430 years in Egypt? What about the 10 tribes that went into Assyria and never returned? What about the southern kingdom that went into Judah and was there 70 years and then God let them go back to the homeland? What about Rome that they were in control? There was a Roman governor right there in the city of Jerusalem and he called the shots. And here they are saying, we've never been in bondage to any man. They've always been in bondage. They've had their ups and their downs. You see, the problem is when you deceive yourself. And that's what they were doing. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now I want you to notice this word committeth. Notice that. Everybody say committeth. The E-T-H, committeth. That's an ongoing thing. You see, sin is several things. Sin can be a solitary act. Or sin can become a state of being. You can commit a sin, or you can live in a state of sin. This is talking about somebody that is living in a continual state of sin. That's what I was. I was a sinner. I lived in sin. I thought like a sinner. I acted like a sinner. I lived like a sinner. That was my life. Sin was my life. Amen. Until he set me free. Hallelujah. But thank God for an altar when I was 15 years old. I went down to an altar one night and I said, God, I want you to forgive me for my sins. I don't want to live like this anymore. Amen. I don't want to keep doing what I've been doing. I know it's wrong. I don't feel good about it. I'm asking you to have mercy and help me. And you know what? God forgave me. And he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I spake with tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. Hallelujah. And from 15 years old to 61 years of age, God has been with me. And I appreciate his help so very much. I've made my mistakes along the way. But you see, I don't live like I used to live. Hallelujah. And I don't live the lifestyle that I used to live. Anybody can't give me a witness here today that you've been set free? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if I live a sinful lifestyle, I'm a servant of sin. The word servant is doulos. It means slave. Slave. You know what a slave is? It's a possession. A slave belongs. It's property. It has no rights. It has no freedom. It can't do what it wants to do. Amen. When I was under sin, Paul said I was sold under sin. It controlled me. It controlled what I thought. It controlled what I did. It controlled me. Amen. But thank God I got out from under sin's control. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, the Bible said. And the Scripture said, we have the mind of Christ. So I think differently than I used to think. If you're a Christian today, you ought not to think like the world thinks. You have a different mind. Amen. You have a different worldview. You can see things clearly now. Since Jesus came into your heart. Amen. He said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. You see what he's saying? And he's saying, you know, if you're a slave in a household, you know, you don't have any rights there. You're in the house, but the only reason you're there is to serve other people. You don't have any rights. You can't sit down at the table. You can't eat the food that the son is eating. Amen. You can't join in the laughter because you don't belong there. Amen. There was a time I didn't belong in the family of God. Amen. I didn't understand all of this. I had a sweet little old mama that My, she was the real deal. How many? She was the real thing. She got the Holy Ghost when she was about 20 years old. And she got the real thing. She lived for God her whole life. And I never that real. Oh, no. But she scared me sometimes. And to make it worse, she had two sisters just like her. And on top of that, one of my cousins joined in. And when I was a little boy, I'd go visit my cousin, and it was his mother, my first cousin, that was in with these other three ladies. And they would have a prayer meeting. I told you earlier, we didn't have air conditioning in those days, so all the windows were up, and the doors were open. And they got to praying. You said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, you had never heard prayer like that. If you don't know what's wrong with that, you don't know. You didn't pray like they prayed. They didn't pray those little, our Heavenly Father. Didn't pray like that. No. It was wailing. It was crying. It was bawling. It was screaming. It was talking in tongues. And the windows were open. And the doors were open. And the wind was blowing. And everybody in Odessa, Texas heard it. And my cousin, I had to play outside while it was going on. Hoping, my, hope nobody comes by here and sees us. Oh, thank God for that heritage. Amen. And the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost would hit like a bomb. And all of a sudden, all that weeping would turn into joy and shouting. Man, they'd be flying around in there, bouncing off the walls, dancing, talking in tongues, hands up. And boy, they were loud about it. And I'm so glad God didn't let me enjoy sin very long. Let me just say this. I never did enjoy sin. I was so condemned. I'd smoke a cigarette, and every time I take a puff, I think I'm going to get cancer and die. I'd sit there in the movie theater thinking, sure enough, this place is going to burn down. They're going to find my crispy body in here. My poor little mama's going to weep, knowing I went straight to hell. I never did enjoy sin. It messed me up for life, and I hope I mess you up. Young people, if you ever do anything wrong, I hope you're so messed up. Amen. You're looking for Brother Grissom everywhere. I know he's here somewhere. No, not really. Amen. But you know, righteousness will do that to you. It'll give you a thing called a conscience. Amen. And other people can say things that you can't say. That's right. Amen. You try gossiping, it'll say, you better straighten that up now. You try lying, and righteousness will say, you better change that. You know that's not right. Amen. Thank God for a conscience. Thank God for a conscience. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tried it, man. I couldn't enjoy it. Amen. And about I'd go to church, and you know, I was rebellious. Thought I was anyway. And I got old enough to get away from Mom. I'd sit back at the back. I'd sit back there looking disinterested. But I could probably tell you every sermon and exactly what he said. When I was sitting in Sunday school class, teacher may not think I was listening, but I could have taught her a lesson when I got home. Amen. Because it just went in. And I couldn't get away from it. I loved it. Looking disinterested, but I wasn't. Amen. Soaking it in. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, but every now and then, boy, we'd have one of those services. My mom would get out in the aisle. She'd start dancing, going around. Boy, she could raise the roof. She had this little war whoop thing. It would go straight to your heart. Amen. She could pray. At home, she'd get to praying. And I'd take pillows, two pillows. I'd put them over and I'd try to drown that out. It won't drown it out. Amen. Thank God for that kind of heritage. Amen. I'm appreciative. But he said that the servant doesn't abide in the house. Son abides in the house. So you see, I was around all this joy, but I was miserable. I was around all these happy people, but I was miserable. Amen. I knew what they had, and I saw what they had, but I was unhappy. Does that sound familiar to anybody here today? Amen. Praise God. But I'm so glad. Amen. Then listen to this next verse, because he said, if the simple shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, how does the Son make you free? He makes you a son. Hallelujah. He takes the servant. He takes the slave. He takes the outsider. And he makes you a son. He makes you a part of the family. The Bible said, by the spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. We call him Daddy today by the Holy Ghost. He made a way to make me a part of his family. Hey, that's how you get out of the prison. Amen. You become a son of God, a daughter of God. Hallelujah. You take on his name. My name is Johnny Darrell Grissom Jesus. That's my old name. You can forget the first three, don't matter, but don't forget my last name. Jesus. Now I got that Jesus part when at 12 years old when I was baptized. Amen. When you get baptized in water, you make sure they say in the name of Jesus Christ, for the sin of your sin. If they didn't say that, you need to get baptized again. If they say in the name of the Father, well, that's good, but what's his name? If they say in the name of the Son, that's good, but what's his name? If they say in the name of the Holy Ghost, that's good, but what's his name? Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name, and his name is? Jesus. Amen. And when he was born, he said, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name? Jesus. Amen. He said, I'm come in the name of, he said, the Holy, or the Comforter with the Father's sin, in my name, which is? Jesus. Amen. So the name of the Father is? Jesus. And the same of the Son is? Jesus. And the name of the Holy Ghost is? Jesus. And these three are one. That's just one name. Amen. That's the family name. Amen. It's important. I've heard folks say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does. It does. I got to quit. Amen. Let's stand together. Living in prisons of our own making. Amen. Anybody want to get out of prison? You're tired of the same old, same old. Amen. You don't want to live the same way you've been living. Amen. You can, you know. You can get out. Praise the Lord. There was a couple of preachers got arrested. They got arrested because they delivered a girl that had a demon. And that they arrested him for that. Put him in prison. I mean, they didn't just put him in prison. They beat him first. They took whips and they beat them. And then they didn't just put him in prison. The Bible says they put him in the inner prison. And here they are in this strange town, Philippi. Wondering if anybody knows where we are. Yeah, somebody knew where they were. But the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises. I know which it was. One turned to the other and said, hey, you remember this one? And they just started singing a little bit. Hallelujah. You know how to get out of your prison house? You need to start singing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound it saved. It saved wretch like me. Oh, I once, I was lost, but now, thank God I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. Yes, it did. And grace my fears relieved. How precious, dear, that grace appeared. The hour that I first believed. Hallelujah. Oh, 'twas grace has
more than fear.
Right. To save the spark, and His grace is going to lead me home. Yes, it will. Everybody, oh, when we